is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
Come on, church. Make some noise in this place.
Greetings. This is Reverend Lionel Smith, pastor of New Scholar Baptist Church. We are a church that is working towards acquiring the mind of Christ. Sit back and listen to the message already in progress.
Isaiah 61, let's make it do what it do. Here it is. Verse 3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. The oil, you should be shouting already, of joy for mourning. What else is he going to give you? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm going to say it one more time. God says, I'm giving you beauty for your ashes. I'm giving you the garment of praise for your heaviness. When I get through with you, here's what they're going to call you, a tree of righteousness. What's the ultimate goal? To get me some glory out of your life. Do me a favor. Push seven people like you're trying to knock them down and tell them he broke me so he could bless me. That's the wrong person. Tell seven people he broke me. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. It was John Newton who said, and I quote, that my grand reason for preaching is to break the hard-hearted and to heal the broken one, unquote. Might I suggest to you, Jesus really, in Isaiah 61, echoes the same sentiments in his, as it were, purpose statement over his life. Most of you that read your Bible at every campus, you know this is a loose rendering of Luke 4, verses 18 through 19. You all know that. Let's set the context right quick. You all who read your Bibles can appreciate this because Luke is a powerful book. I like the physician's rendering of the gospel because it is in Luke 1 that we see the visitation. Angel rose up on Mary and cousin Elizabeth and said, both of you going to have a baby supernaturally. Elizabeth, your menstrual has stopped, but I'm cranking it back up, and your husband about to get a spiritual Viagra touch. And then Mary, you've never been touched, but you're going to have a Holy Ghost intercourse. And you will be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. So in chapter 1 of Luke, we see the visitation. But in chapter 2 of Luke, we see the incarnation. Mary had a little lamb. Christ the Savior is born. That's right. In chapter 1, we see the visitation. In chapter 2, we see the incarnation. In chapter 3, we see the confirmation. Because your Bible says that Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit all in one place. Jesus goes into the water. Holy Spirit descends, and the Father speaks and said, that's my baby, and whom I'm well pleased. This is my son, and whom I'm well pleased. I've told you this tens of times, but I think you miss it every time, and that is Jesus did no miracles. He healed nobody. He did not fix any eyes or feed anybody until his daddy said, you the bomb. I don't care what the Supreme Court says, every child need a daddy. Yeah, don't tell me men are important. Two women can't be me. No, there is something about the confirmation of the Father. Even Jesus needed it. When his daddy said, this is my son and whom I'm well pleased, Jesus went off. Can I tell you what happens? In chapter 1, we see the visitation. In chapter 2, we see the incarnation. In chapter 3, we see the carnation. When you get to chapter 4, there is the confrontation. Because whenever God confirms you, the devil will confront you. I'm preaching much better than you respond. And whenever God confirms you, look at me downtown, the devil will confront you. If you're being confronted right now, that's because you've been confirmed. The enemy knows it's a losing battle, so he's confronting you with all type of stuff because the confirmation of God is all over you. If he kills you, you win. If you stay alive, you win. If you go through hell, you win. Because Paul said persecution gives proven character. So the devil don't know what to do with me. When he beat me up, I get up. If he kill me, I go to heaven. If I stay alive, I'm going to keep giving glory. What can you do to me? I'm a made man. I'm in his hands. Satan is confronting. And so it is in chapter 1 that we see the visitation. It is in chapter 2 we see the incarnation. In chapter 3 we see the confirmation. Chapter 4 we see the confrontation. And it is in the circumference of our text in chapter 4 that Jesus has now been confirmed. His daddy has told him, you the bomb. He's doing his earthly ministry. He's picked 12 homies, getting ready to bring them to the crew. He's developing, getting ready to pick them out. And he's walking. He decides to stop by the temple. He goes in the temple after being confirmed by the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. He walks in there. They used to read every day in the temple the scrolls. There was not the Bible that you have. There was no New Testament. There was no Paul. Paul hadn't even been saved yet. This is Old Testament chronology. They would read the Pentateuch, the Torah. They would read it. They would read it. They would read it. And wherever they stopped, they would pick up the next day. Jesus, who is known as a rabbi or a teacher, happens to walk in. Look at somebody and say, nothing just happens. Nothing just happens. Stop thinking that stuff just happened on mistake. Everything you've been through, God was setting you up for right now. Every dummy you dated, you had to go ahead and figure that out. Everything that you survived, God was setting you up. Have you ever thanked God that at least the stuff you went through brought you to the Word Church? Have you ever considered that God has been sovereignly selecting you and manipulating situations and circumstances to get you to where you are right now? Jesus just so happened to come into the temple on the day that the reading was Isaiah 61. He is the visiting preacher, as it were. And so the priest says, since you're the visiting preacher, why don't you read for us today? Jesus stood up, opened the book, and guess what happened to be that day where you read a few minutes ago? Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Forgive that lengthy intro, but it'll be worth it. Look at that. Because the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is what Jesus wrote. Out of all the stuff, out of every page it could have been on that day, here's the page it was on when he walked in. When he stood up to read from the previous day, here's what today's scripture was, Isaiah 61. I know you've been reading it from Luke 4. Did you know it's really Isaiah 61? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to preach good tidings. That's the gospel, by the way, to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance our God. Now, by the way, when Jesus is in the temple, you all know Luke 4, 18 and 19. Thank you for listening. This is a good class. He said, and favor, but then he stopped. He never read the part about vengeance in the book of Luke. Why? Because that happens in the second advent. I got some thinking people here. Can I tell you what I like about this passage? It is psychological. It helps me deal with my mind. It is sociological. I'm about to help you deal with others when they're going through. It is anthropological. It lets me be human. It is eschatological. It talks about what's going to happen at the end. All that in three verses. This is a good teaching. If you just give me like 16 minutes, you're going to be glad you did, because in three verses, I get to see eschatological reality, anthropological, sociological, psychological, existential. It's all stuff. Lean on somebody, say, whatever he's saying, I agree with him. I need y'all to catch this because he didn't say vengeance. How come he didn't read the vengeance part? Because that wasn't going to happen yet. He said, I'm not here for that part yet. I'm right here. I'm here now just to show you love and to break people out. I'm here to set the captives free, those who are in bondage. I'm here to heal. Now, when I come back the second time, I'm not coming back as sweet Jesus. Push somebody next to you. Say, don't miss the first trip. Don't miss the first trip. When the rapture comes, make sure you go in the first trip, because the second time he comes, you better call your cousin. You better go on and tell your boyfriend, look, I like you, but you need to get saved, because when you die, I don't want to be guessing at your funeral. Yeah, go on and call your brother. Go on down south and call Uncle them. Say, do you know the Lord? Because if you leave here without Christ, you have to face the vengeance. But don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. We're now in the love of God. He says, I came for a couple of reasons. He says, number one, I came to set the captives free. Do y'all mind if I bring that text from antiquity to modernity and bring it to where I am? Can I burnanize, modernize, and contemporize it? Can I give you the remix? Because if he was here today, he would say, I come to fix a corrupt criminal justice system. Oh, please. I hope this don't bother you. We're not a political church, but we do talk politics because this next election is critical. Pastor, I thought you weren't going to tell us who to vote for. I'm not. I'm just going to tell you who I'm not voting for. I am not voting for multimillionaire pseudo-populists with autocratic sensibilities and fascist proclivities. Thank you, Dr. West. I am not voting for a multi-billionaire pseudo-populist with autocratic sensibilities and fascist proclivities. Thank you, Dr. West, not me. No, I don't know who you're voting for. Pray for me. I don't know what you're going to do. What you're going to do, Pastor? Well, I can tell you who I'm not voting for. What about the notorious HRC? You just missed that. Hillary Rodham Clinton. Amen. The notorious, I like what Dr. Dyson calls it, the notorious HRC. Well, I think she better than the first pick. Pray for me. Amen. Did I say that? Oh, God, pray for me. And she got her issues, too. And I'm going to hold her accountable, too, because it was her husband that really pushed the three strikes. Reason why many of our cousins are still locked up is because he was trying to be tough Democrat to appease Republicans. And so, therefore, brothers were selling weed getting 30 years. Yeah, brothers, three strikes and you're out. They didn't need prison. They needed a program. So they got to be held accountable for that, and that needs to be fixed. How you going to lock me up for weed and then make it legal in Colorado? In the words of Keith Sweat, something just ain't right. I'm preaching much better than you responding. I came to push Pastor Vernon to push this criminal justice system and to preach to brothers that are locked up and in the joint every morning. How come you come on 43 every morning, don't ask for no money, don't sell no handkerchiefs, ain't got no bottled water? Because I'm not on there to get paid. I'm in there to get some brothers released, and they're watching me in Mansfield. They're watching me in Warrensville, right up here at the workhouse. They're watching me at the Justice Center. I know you don't want me to preach this stuff, but if it wasn't for the grace of God, look at your neighbor and say, I just didn't get caught. That's all. Go ahead. Everybody in here has made some mistakes, and the Lord has given. I came to preach. To those that are captive, you don't have to be in Mansfield to be locked up, because some of you are in the prisons of your past. I came to free you, to liberate you, to emancipate, to manumit, to set free from slavery, to manumit. I come to break you out of whatever bondage you in. Can I suggest to you, whoever you are at every campus, that our gospel is his gospel. We are Christians named after him. He gives his purpose statement in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the brokenhearted, to set free. If you came in here, our mission is his mission. So if you came in here with a broken heart, God's going to help you today. If you came in here bound by anything, if you need to be set free, watch this. And if you are poor, did I tell you last week that two things impact how you see God and the Bible? The time in which you were born and your social condition. If you were at maybe a more Caucasian church, the pastor would probably say that poor there means poor in spirit. But I come to tell you that poor there means po. Without the R or the other O. Just ghetto po. Just Ebonic po. Okay, I'm going here. Can I suggest to you, if you're at the right church, not only do they help you with your faith, they help you with your finance. Push somebody and say, I'm too bright to be broke. Go ahead. No, tell them this is my last year being this broke. I need some stuff. Yeah, I need some stuff to bless my family, to help my pastor. Okay, try not to shout right here, but push three people and say, I need some other people money. Go ahead. Yeah, not just money for me. I need enough money to bless some other people. My mama, my cousin, my daughter, my niece who getting straight A's. Can I prophesy over your life that God, Pastor Samson, is about to give you some other people money. Slap three people, say, I receive that, I receive that, I receive that. So the first thing we see in the text, write this down, is blessed assurance. Didn't nobody shout on that because y'all not old school, but grandma used to sing a song. We're going to sing it at the Word Church, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Three people know it. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased by God, born of his spirit, washed in his love. Second verse says, perfect submission, all is at rest. Me and my Savior, I'm happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, washed in his love. You know the hook, don't you? This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. All, now you missed your shout. But can I tell you, even if you don't have a man in your bed, or the one you got is not what he said, can I suggest to you that you have a blessed assurance because of the blood insurance? Preach, Ray Nell Verna. Is there anybody here that would thank God that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that God has given you another chance? Stand up and sit back down and say, I receive that, Pastor. I gotta go. Y'all tired of me? Are y'all tired of me? Well, point at me, say, preach, Pastor, preach. Please catch this, because verse 3 is where I'm gonna spend the rest of my time. I'm expositional. I am. Let's expose this text. Let me publicly explicate what I've privately exegeted. The Rated R series was fun. This is a pastoral message today. Get the Rated R series, because it was off the chain. It was real fun and fly, and talking about social media and sex and single, all that good stuff, and being a millennial. But I'm in a pastoral expositional mood today, so flow with me, because this is heavy stuff, but even young people need to catch it, because we're going to jump tonight. But right now, young people, catch this, because you're going to need this. To console those who mourn, to console those who mourn, to give them beauty for ashes. Watch this. To console those who mourn. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Look what Jesus said. Not only to help people out of their stuff and heal the brokenhearted and to preach the good news, but what is the overarching purpose of it? To also console. Now, if you miss this, you'll miss it. That's why you go to the Word Church. To console those. Notice what he did not say. It's critical. He did not say to stop the mourning. Oh, I hope you love us. I hope you love me. He said to console those who tripping. To console those who baby got killed unnecessarily by a trigger-happy cop. To console those who walked in and saw their husband doing something that changed their whole existential plight. To console those who mama went to heaven and mama was my best friend. To console those that had to bury a baby. To console those that thought their marriage was one thing but it's not. To console those who raised a child right but they're doing wrong. To console. Every now and then, I'm just in my mourning period. I hope you appreciate our church for teaching this, because I know there's some churches where you pay your tithe and let it ride. Throw a dollar and holler, snatch it and grab it, call it and haul it, name it and claim it. If you're in faith, you'll never go through nothing. The reason why you're in something, because you don't have faith. And if you had faith, you'd already be out of this. So just don't worry about it. It's already over. That is not what the Bible says. Some of the stuff people say the Bible promises, it does not. What Jesus promised was drama. He said, in this life, you will, not you might, have trials and tribulations, but be of good courage. Peep this, for I have overcome the world. To console those. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4 said, there is a time to dance. There is a time to mourn, a time to laugh, a time to cry. A time to mourn. That's so good. A time to mourn. Is that good? A time to mourn. Sometime, don't rush me out my mourning period. I'm not unsaved. I'm not unspiritual. I lost something. I'm coming out of something. Something devastated me. I don't feel like jumping today. It's not that I'm not saved. I still love God. I prayed this morning. I still appreciate him. But life hit me. And I need a church that will walk alongside of me. And don't try to give me a magic scripture. Just shut up and cry with me. Just hold my hand. Just, Pastor, give me a hug. I'm in line. I don't even know what I want. Hey, baby, what you want? I don't know, Pastor. I'm just standing here. I don't know. Do you have anything to say to me? Did God tell you anything about me? I don't even know what I want. I've been in line 12 minutes, Pastor. I'm finally up here. I don't even know what I want. Life, you don't know how many people stand in line 12 minutes, and they finally get to me. I say, hey, baby. She just, I said, what? I said, but you've been, I said, that's all right, just hug me. Then she say, I said, that's all right, let's pray a whatever it is prayer. That's why we got grief recovery here. That's why we got more small groups than we got classrooms for. That's why I put more money into small group and that kind of ethos than most places, because I realized that most churches didn't teach us how to be sad. They told us hurry up out of it, but no, there's a process. Give me my five stages. I'm in denial, I'm angry, acceptance, give me all of it. I just lost something. I was married to him 25 years. Give me 3 months. I'm coming back. I thought this was my husband. I gave him too much too fast. I know I was wrong, but he turned me out. He turned my mind out. I thought he was it, and he wasn't. So even though I was in sin, I still hurt. Yeah, I know y'all say I shouldn't like girls, but I'm a girl. I do like girls. So what? I know the Bible say I shouldn't, but I'm in love with one. She left me. I'm messed up. Maybe it's sin. I don't know what's going on. All I know is whatever I'm in, I'm still human, and I need a church that won't judge me, but will pick me up and pray for me and say, until you come out, we're going to stand here and love you with your tumor. Romans 12, verse 5 says, mourn with those who mourn. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Can I tell you what you're supposed to do? Be sympathetic, empathetic, not a hater. If you're single and somebody on your row meets somebody nice, don't be hating. Just say, oh, thank you, Jesus. If somebody get paid, they got less degree than you and get a better job, rejoice with them. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Have you touched your neighbors in the last 30 seconds? Touch both of them and tell them, if God blessed my neighbors, that means he in the neighborhood. Go ahead, tell somebody. Okay, so look at your neighbor and say, one of y'all please get blessed. Go ahead. Say one of y'all get rich. One of y'all come out of debt. Come on. It ain't no fun unless my homie gets something. Can I get 35 people that will praise God not for yourself, but look at your neighbor and say, I'm about to praise God for you. Go ahead. Whatever God does in your life, I celebrate it. Whatever God does, I wish I had somebody downtown, somebody at East. Woo! Mourn with those who mourn. Matthew 5, verse 5 says, blessed are they that mourn, for they, verse 4, shall be comforted. But blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that mourn. Now, y'all ready to shout? Touch your neighbor and say, I got a weave. Go ahead. If you got a weave, tell somebody, watch my weave. It may come off right here. Come on, testify. It's all right. Everybody got them now. Grandma got them. Everybody. Just go on and get free. Say, my weave may fall on your lap. Because when he say this, because y'all ready for my scripture? Y'all ready for my scripture? Yeah. Y'all ready for my scripture? Because Psalm 26 says, he will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Y'all missed that? Okay, y'all want my other favorite scripture? 1 Peter 5, verse 10 says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace will himself, not no angel, will himself strengthen you, perfect you, confirm you. I'm sorry, slap five people, say, when I come out of this, I'm gonna be better. Go ahead. No, that's the wrong person. Tell somebody it's rough right now, but when I come out of this, I wish I had somebody here that would testify, when I come out of this, I'm coming out stronger, better, wiser. Why don't you praise God in advance and say, it's rough right now, but when God gets through with me, I shall come forth. Well, I feel like preaching. Let me hurry up. Y'all tired of me. So here's the new rule at the Word. It's been our rule. We will be the church that lets people feel. Yeah, sometimes we don't even listen to people. Hey, baby, how you doing? Terrible. That's good, sugar. Praise God. You didn't even hear her. It's just semantics. It's just religious. It's not even thinking. I listen to people. One of the reasons why I hug, I'm telling y'all not to get members. I got too many now. I can't even get to all of them. I hug so that I can empathize. I hug so that I can feel. I tell every member, hug me. I'm not exaggerating. Hug me or Lady Vernon at least every 60 days. You got stuff to do. You're trying to get to your car. You ain't got time. You ain't thinking about us. I understand. But every 60 days or so, make sure I know your face in case life happens. Yeah, when life happens, you're going to want me to know you. Don't wait until life happens, then call the church, won't even know you. Join a ministry. Join a couple of them so that when life happens, I can mourn with you. Who baby? Oh, the one that's, the usher that always, the guy on the camera, yeah. Oh, yeah, the one at East. Oh, the guy downtown, always in the booth. Yeah, you know the one that works, she works with the babies. Always, oh, yeah, her, what happened? You see, when you're not connected and life happened, don't nobody even know. And sometimes life can be going so good, you think life's not going to happen. But shake somebody and say, you're going to need your church. Go ahead, tell somebody. No, they don't believe it. You just keep on living. Remember I told you that you're going to need your church. You can live. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care if you're black, white, rich, or poor. One day you're going to need your pastor. You're going to need your church. You're going to need your elders. You're going to need the community of faith to get around you. And you're going to hate we don't know you. This church isn't that big. We broke it up into small groups, campuses. There's ways for you to get into the fabric of who we are before life happened. I know the R series was fun. This one is a little more serious. I want y'all to catch this because not only this is good. Y'all can stand. I'm finished. Run, Forrest, run, whatever you want to do. Because this is so good. Not only do we see blessed assurance, and not only do we see burden bearers, but God says, thirdly, I'm giving you beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. There is something in the Bible, I'm finished, called sackcloth and ashes. Some of you remember that. Sackcloth and ashes. When Job's babies died, he did it. When David's friend died, he did it. When people was in a trifling sin, they would put on sackcloth. It was this rough material. It was rough. It felt bad. It was coarse on the skin. This was their way of outwardly depicting what they felt internally. I'm preaching much better than y'all responding today. This was their way of saying, I'm in a bad place right now. This was their way of saying, don't talk to me. I just need a season. I'm in a season of mourning. The Bible says Job's friends came over and sat and shook him with him. That is the Hebrew idea of just sit quiet. They would come over and sit with you 7 days. You need some friends that'll come over and sit 7 days and don't talk. Just cook. Just help you get in the tub. Just pray. Just sit there and watch TV with you. Don't say a word unless you say a word. I'm just in a season. I don't need you to tell me what I need to do. Just come over here and sit and be quiet. Just sit with me and let me work my way through. They would sit in sackcloth, and they would put ashes on their head. Ashes on your head meant that you were in the throes of grief. Ashes on your head meant you were in a bad place. Watch what he says. I can't believe all these young people looking at me too. You're going to be better than some people that came before you because you're catching this now. Watch this, because this is so critical. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you beauty to replace your ashes. I'm about to take the ashes off. No wonder Psalms 23, he anoints my head with oil. I shall wear a crown. He takes the ashes off, puts a crown on, the crown of glory, the crown of righteousness. He puts the oil of salvation. Do you know in ancient antiquity, when you came to somebody's house, they would give you water for your feet. They would take your feet and just wash them. Just wash your feet, wash your feet. But then they would give you oil for your head. Oil was refreshing. Oil was a kind of refreshing. The oil on your head, it was this good smelling oil that would just sort of refresh and relieve you, along with water on your feet, the preparation of his feet with the gospel of peace, the oil of gladness on your head. I'm trying to help somebody. Okay, Pastor, make your point. God said, y'all ready for this? Try not to run out of here. I just asked God to give you a season of happiness. Okay, y'all missed that. Y'all not shouting. I'm asking God to take about 1,000 of my members that's been through a rough patch. Oh, it's going to get rough again. That's called life. But I'm about to ask God to give you a season of good stuff coming your way. Now, you can sit there and look at me, but God said, I'm replacing your beauty. I'm replacing your ashes with beauty. I'm turning some stuff around. I will give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I will give you The garment, I'm out of here. I got another service. We got teenagers tonight. We got lit tonight. I got to clear this sanctuary, move these chairs so we can jump around. But I got to talk to some grown folks and some young people for a minute. I will give you the garment of praise to replace what? The spirit of heaviness. Don't you look at me like that, because you got 2.5 children and a handsome, saved husband and a good job and you did things right and you got a degree and both of your parents love you and your kids are doing great, but there's a bunch of us who didn't do everything right. There's a bunch of us who raised our kids right, but they did something wrong. There's a bunch of us that married one man, but that man didn't do what we thought he would do. There's a bunch of us that thought our wife, there's a bunch of us. Have you ever ran into somebody, it might be your mama, who you will hurt somebody for, but for years when you went in the room, mama always looked heavy. It was daddy, you know, it was life, it was trying to raise y'all, it was whoever she was dating at the time, the money stuff, your brother that wouldn't do right. Mama always looked heavy. You remember now, she aged quicker. She was an old 33. She was a old 35. Remember, your mother looked older than you look now. When you look back, she wasn't but 35, but she looked aged. You see some people in church sometimes, they just look heavy. I know as soon as I see it, I said, baby, what's up? Especially people who normally have an effervescent, jovial kind of spirit. And I said, baby, what's up? Because I look forward to your smile. What's up, Pastor? Just heavy. Just heavy. You'd be surprised who on your road. Life just heavy. Don't let the smile fool you. People say I'm the life of the party because I tell a joke or two. But deep inside, I'm feeling blue. Here's what you do. But take a good look at my face. You'll see my smile looks out of place. If you look closer, it's easy to trace. Heavy, I'm saved, but I'm heavy, Pastor. I'm heavy. I'm heavy. I got one child, Pastor, that I just thought would be one thing. He ain't. Pastor, I'd give money, my lung, for him to do right. I'm heavy. I'm not gonna see my son for 30 years. He gone to the penitentiary. I'm heavy. I'm heavy. It's not what I thought. I didn't said I'd do to somebody who won't. I'm heavy. I'm heavy. I'm tired of this drug stuff. I'm heavy. I'm single, and this sex thing got me. I'm tired of this cat. He didn't turn my mind out. I know he wrong. I know he ain't right, but I love him, and it drives me crazy. I'm in love with this guy. I know he married, but this guy got me, Pastor, and I'm trying to get out this stuff, and every time I wake up, I'm heavy because I'm too saved to be in this stuff, but it's good to me. It's wrong, but it feels right, and I don't know. I'm heavy because I'm better than how I'm acting. I'm heavy because I thought I have more money than this, and time is getting away from me, and as opposed to having extra money at the end of the month, I got extra month at the end of my money. I'm heavy. Somebody at the last service look at me. Somebody downtown. Somebody sitting in this space at the late service. Somebody across the world look at me. I'm heavy. He says, are you heavy? Yes. He says, here's what I'm about to give you. I'm about to give you the garment of praise to replace the outfit of heavy. All my athletes, throw your hand up. All my hoopers, all my ballers, all my track stars. Sometime a brother will put on a weight jacket so he can get them calves strong so he can get up on the vertical. You wear a weight jacket. He's trying to be heavy. He used to wear the weight jacket. When I used to hoop, I used to walk around with my weight jacket just so I could get up when I took it off and dunk on a fool. Pray for me. I was trying hard. Heavy. He says, I'm taking off the weight jacket. The weight jacket of the nasty uncle that came in your room. I'm taking off the weight jacket. of the person that you gave 20 years to too long, the weight jacket of bad decisions, the weight jacket of staying up all night about some child that don't even call you, the weight jacket of a mama who still don't encourage you, the weight jacket of a missing father, the weight jacket of bills on the table, the weight jacket of depression, the weight jacket of anxiety, the weight jacket of stuff. Maria, bring me a purple cover. Hurry up. Bring me a purple cover. Give it to her. Give it to her. Come up here, Maria. Come up here. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. He says, you've been heavy. He says, you've been thinking about a lot of different things. You dressed up in heaviness. You got a lot on you. You've been carrying a lot. You've been carrying stuff. You look heavy. I'm about to take all that off you. I'm taking it off. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the garment of praise. Wait a minute. I'm going to give you. But now, you got it. You got it. But what you going to... Oh, slap somebody and say, put it on, put it on, put it on. You got to put it on. If there's anybody here that's going through anything, I dare you in this crowded church to open up your mouth and praise him. I said, praise the Lord. Can I get 50 people to open up your mouth and say, neighbor, I'm about to praise him. I've been down too long, but this is my time. I got to praise him until I come out of this. Would you push three people and say, praise him until you feel better? Can I get a witness? I said, can I get a witness? And God bless y'all today, but I'm closing when I tell you, I'm glad that I have a God who will not leave me nor forsake me. No, he won't. Is there anybody here? Yeah. That came to church feeling a little heavy. I got a word for you. If you open your mouth on this Sunday afternoon and start praising the Lord, I guarantee you, you'll feel better than you did when you walked in. Now do me a favor, shake your neighbor's hand, say, neighbor, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. If you really believe it, don't stand there and be cute. But David said in Psalms 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Don't wait, yeah, till the battle is over, but praise him right now. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If God's been good to you, then step in the nearest aisle and walk over to somebody. If you can't get out the aisle, then turn around in your seat and reach behind you and tell somebody, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. Oh yeah. Yeah, I feel all right. Is there anybody here that should have lost your mind, but the Lord stepped in a nick of time? If you're not too mean, then shake your neighbor's hand. Say, neighbor, my soul's been anchored in the Lord. I'm saved, sanctified. I dare you to praise him like it's your last time. open up your mouth and praise him. Praise him until you feel better. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Goodbye, y'all. I bid you goodbye. But do me a favor. Would you step in the nearest aisle? I need 50 people to come slap the altar and run back to your seat. Say, praise, get me out. I said, slap the altar and run back to your seat and say, praise is gonna save my life. Praise will buck me out of this. Praise. Somebody downtown, somebody at Word East, I dare you to run to the front and slap that altar and run back to your seat. Say, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Up your mouth as loud as you can and shabak him and tada him. He says, and here's what I'm going to do. I want you to catch this. He says, I'm going to give you. Hallelujah. Blessed assurance. I'm going to put you in a church surrounded by burden bearers. A pastor, a first lady, elders, campus elders that have been trained to listen and feel with you. Then what I'm going to do is take all your stuff and give you beauty for ashes. Hoping that you understand that I was planning to bless you the whole time. But before I could bless you, I had to... Okay. I can't believe this. I can't believe this. I can't believe y'all missed it. I can't believe... I played y'all. How y'all let me play y'all? Nobody called it home. What am I serving today? What am I serving? So in Corinthians 11, verse 24, the scripture says, he took it. And broke it, and then he blessed it. But some people want the blessing without the breaking. But if you want God to get you to the next level, you got to throw your hands up and say, break me, Lord. Have your way in my life. Take who you want to take. Move what you want to move. Change what you want to change. Woo! Somebody's in the breaking period. Somebody is in the breaking period. Somebody, oh! Yeah. Oh, no. He's breaking me, breaking me. Wait. Hey, stop. Downtown. I got to serve the supper. I got another service. Ooh, those sitting here in Warrensville at the last service, those sitting here in Warrensville, those downtown, those at East. Look at me. The homiletician in me, Pastor Sampson, one of my sons, missed his church to bring his young people here for lit tonight. That was nice of you, Sampson, bro. He missed his service, one of my pastor sons, to bring his young people here for lit. So thank you for being here. But Pastor Sampson, let Dad tell you something. Here's what's crazy. The homiletician in me got to finish this. Because the final sentence says, I'm doing all that. The burden bearing, the breaking, all of it. the beauty for ashes, the blessed assurance, so that at the end, I can make you a tree. I don't have no Bible readers here. Psalms 1, he shall be like a... I'm going to make you a tree of righteousness. Now, I'm going to make you a tree. I'm going to make you a tree. I'm going to make you a tree. Watch this. I'm from down the way. Trees on Kinsman. Bruhs be high. Bruhs be drunk. Bruhs running from the police. I done seen a whole lot of bruhs. Boom, smack a tree. Ready for this? Person in the car died. Car total. Not the tree. Tree got a little bark missing, but it's standing. Tree got a little dent in it. When you was born, your mama ran into you. She didn't raise you. Your father didn't do right. He ran into you. The first person you gave too much, they ran into you. Some nasty cousin touched you too early. That ran into you. First job placed you. That ran into you. Been through hell, but look at you. Out of all the stuff you survived, some other people died. If you succeeded, but not you. They not here no more, but not you. You a tree. You a tree. You a tree. Watch this. Just one more sentence. And I've officially finished the text. I just feel expositional today. The last sentence says, I'm doing all that, making you a tree, blessed assurance, burden bearers, beauty for ashes. You ready for this? What none of it, even ultimately for you. God said I was being selfish. I did it all in your life so I could be glorified. Because now people look at you and say, if God did it for her, he can do it for me. Throw your hands up and say, be glorified, God. Use my life.
Show us your glory. Show us your glory.
Can breathe, get your communion in your hand. Yeah, right now. Right now, hurry, hurry. Don't walk. Don't walk. Deacons, are y'all helping me in the overflow? I don't want nobody to walk out this place. Nobody's walking. If you're sitting on field two with five babies, make them all sit down.
Jesus woke me up this
God bless you. We hope that this message has encouraged your heart. We invite you to come worship with us at our Sunday school service beginning at 9 a.m., our morning worship service at 11 a.m., Bible study every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. If you would like to correspond with this ministry, you can write us at 2627 Willow Glen Road, Alexandria, Louisiana. Again, thank you, and may God bless you.
K-A-Y-T, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1.
Hello, Louisiana. This is Dr. Gary Jones, CEO of Vantage Health Plan. Back in 1994, I started Vantage with a group of local doctors who believe that patient health, your health, is our top priority. That's why Vantage makes it easy for you to get the care you need with quality, affordable health insurance that puts you first. I know it's not what you usually expect from a health plan, but now you can.
VantageHealthPlan.com for more information. Vantage Health Plan, the freedom to live a healthy life.
Vantage Health is a proud sponsor of KAYT KQJOFM.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
the highest mountain. Looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley. Looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea. Couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and my years ahead. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. Body great, body greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.